The New York Nonprofit Press, the industry standard for nonprofits, is a must-read for over 20,000 New York City and state executives. Those who know the nonprofit world count on the NYNP to deliver breaking news and get messages across into the nonprofit industry. Ads can be placed in our paper, daily emails, or on our website. For more information, visit nynp.biz or email publisher at nynp.biz. The New York Nonprofit Press, serving people who serve people.
Good morning. I'm Allison Brecker, the host of The Nonprofit Voice, where I interview inspiring women who give back to their communities through involvement in local nonprofits here in our area. My guest today is Ellen Magnus, who's the executive director of Minds Matter, who not only gives back to a nonprofit based in New York, but with chapters all across the country, 12 of them, adding on a 13th this year, with 1,900 volunteers all across the country. Ellen, tell me a little bit about your personal connection to the community being served by Minds Matter, children at risk. Judging by your accomplishments, which we'll get into in a second, you don't exactly strike me as someone who's been a child at risk. But tell me a little bit about your background and why this cause of helping at-risk youth is so important to you.
Sure. So I'll go back a long time ago. So I was out of the house when I was 17. I was married when I was 18, and I had my first baby at 19 and second at 21. And so you don't hear anything about college there, do you?
No.
Right? And so here I was in my early 20s with two very small children and a divorce.
Right. You're just trying to get through the next diaper. Right?
Single mother. Mm-hmm. And so, but I had some inspirational women in my high school who told me I was smart all along the way, right? And so I knew I was smart, but I didn't know how to access college. And I am the first in my biological family to attend college. And so here I was, early 20s, divorced, two small children, and I knew that the only way out of my circumstance was to go and get a college education.
Okay, so let me just pause on that for a second, because your children are now in their 30s.
Yes.
So when you're doing all this, this is back in the days before email,
I know, olden days,
virtual classes, webinars, taking things, through a flex time schedule. How on earth does a mother go back to school with two young children, again, being the first one in your family to go to college, no less. How do you do that?
Yeah. Well, I worked full time. And so I worked in a medical practice, and I had a wonderful supervisor at that medical practice who allowed me to go to school on my lunch hour. So I would go to a community college and take a class on my lunch hour. So I got a little flex time for that, because I was a single mother. I didn't really have the support and the infrastructure to do more than to take a class at a time. And so I took a class at a time, a semester at a time, and just chipped away. I also built a support system for myself. So I paired up with another single mother, and we provided sort of relief for each other so that we could do something in the evenings or have a little break from kids and do homework and things like that, right? So I think when you don't have a structure and a support system, you have to build one.
Totally. And women really have to get together,
yes,
to really support each other. So I imagine the two of you provided support in lots of different ways, maybe even from childcare itself.
Absolutely.
To sort of academic support for each other and sort of doing it all,
right,
being able to do it all. And like
Absolutely.
You said, these little baby steps. I think that a lot of women today become intimidated by thinking, how can I possibly...
Right.
go back to graduate school or go to college when I have all these myriad other obstacles in my way. And so that must have been pretty daunting for you to even think about all the credits needed for a bachelor's degree.
It was.
Back at a time when, again, just to make it clear, there is no education on demand and no iPad and whatnot to,
right,
do this on your own schedule.
Absolutely. And so, it took me 10 years to get my undergrad going at this pace. I was eventually able to pick up that pace a little bit. I remarried during that time, and I will tell you that I was 9 months pregnant with my third child when I got my undergraduate degree.
Well, luckily you had the graduate cape to hide it all, right?
So, how about that? Yeah. And so after that, when my youngest son was 9 months old, I did graduate school full time, straight through, fast track. And so I did my MBA straight through after that.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And so then how did you become involved in the nonprofit space?
Yeah. So all the time I was in school and doing my graduate degree, I knew that I wanted to spend my days doing something meaningful. So for me, it was always about, if I'm going to take time away from my kids, I want to be sure that I'm doing something that's really important to me. And so after I finished my graduate degree, I worked for a short period of time with a startup company, helping them get started. And every day I drove past the national office of the American Heart Association, and I thought, I want to work in the nonprofit world. And here's the national office of this great organization. I bet I could learn a lot there, but I have no idea what they would do with somebody like me. And so I just pitched my resume to them and said, I have an undergraduate degree in sociology, psychology, and research. I have an MBA. I have a healthcare background. What would you do with somebody like me?
Well, my guest today is Ellen Magnus, the executive director of Minds Matter. Minds Matter helps troubled and at-risk youth all across the country and prepares academically deserving students in high school for the rigors of college. Speaking of the rigors of college, Ellen went back to college for 10 years, earning her bachelor's degree, then her MBA, all with two single children at a time well before email and all these other conveniences that we now sort of take for granted as ways to get your degree. And lots of women are looking to find their purpose, Ellen. I know as a lawyer myself, I sometimes feel like I don't really build any specific tangible thing. I can't point to something that I make. And so women like me, especially in the professional services area, oftentimes are looking to find their purpose, to find something that inspires them. Women at a different stage of their career might be looking for a way to leave a legacy. What mm-hmm. was it about the nonprofit space that really inspired you to take action and join that kind of area as a career path?
Yeah. So after I got my sort of training wheels at the American Heart Association, which is a fantastic place to learn the nonprofit world, I was able to build national partnerships and do incredible work in changing the healthcare system. So the work was stimulating and interesting and complicated, and I loved all of that. But after I had been there about 8 years, I kept thinking, this isn't what I'm passionate about. Although I love the work and I love that we're focused on improving healthcare and the health of Americans, it didn't resonate with me. And so when I had the opportunity, I shifted to a more locally facing nonprofit called the Dallas Children's Advocacy Center. And it was there that I realized that really what I'm about is helping transform the lives of children and youth.
And directly interacting with them, as I can imagine.
So the Advocacy Center helps kids who have been severely abused. So they've been molested or they've been physically abused. And what I saw is the impact that an organization can have on a life of a child who's coming in a very negative situation, and then watching how a little bit of resource and a little bit of support and love can really transform a life. And so for me, coming to Minds Matter, it puts together my love for this complex national nonprofit space with my love for transforming the lives of children and youth, and puts it together in a beautiful little package.
Right. Well, speaking of beautiful little packages, so, you just moved here recently from Dallas, Texas.
I did, yes.
And I'm very impressed that you're even able to keep up with the pace of speech here in New York, right? Because we talk very quickly and we move very quickly. You navigated the trains to get here this morning.
The Long Island Railroad.
That's right. So that was your first experience on our commuter system. But so you had two children, you're a single mom, you went back to school for 10 years, had your third child, then earned your graduate degree. How did you do it all? And now you're here in New York after your youngest one went off to college. Your husband is still back in Texas.
He is.
Lots of people deal with long distance relationships. How do you make it work?
Well, so we've been married now for almost 25 years, and our son just started his program in college. He's a college freshman. One of our daughters is in a PhD program. And so we felt like our kids are doing great and the nest is empty. And so what's next, right? And so when I looked for my next sort of encore performance as a nonprofit professional, I always had my eye on New York. But I didn't want to take something that didn't have that national component and that component of transforming the lives of children and youth. And so my husband, who's a judge, is still serving out his term as a judge in Dallas. And we talked about, what if I find something that has all of this that I'm so passionate about, but you're not ready to come yet? And we know we decided, we've been married a long time and it's not that far to hop on a plane and go back and forth. And so we're kind of dating again, going back and forth. What's not to like? And so he comes to New York and we go to, you know, the comedy clubs and to musicals and to theater. And I go to Dallas and we visit friends and family. And it's been great so far.
And so you found a way to make it work in your next chapter. So my guest today is Ellen Magnus, the executive director of Minds Matter. Minds Matter mentors and empowers youth from at-risk school districts and low-income families to prepare them for college. And not just any college, 70% of them go to some of the most selective colleges in the country. Can you give us a couple of profiles of, or success stories, Ellen, of some Minds Matter graduates?
Sure. First off, maybe I'll just go back and tell you sort of who our average student is. Mm-hmm. So I think this is pretty impressive. We talked about students who come from annual family incomes of $25,000 or less per year. And I always have to say in New York, that's per year, not per month, per year. 70% of our students are female, which I think is phenomenal. And 90% of our students are students of color. They have high GPAs, and many of them are the first in their families to graduate from college.
And probably not just first in their families, first probably among their friends.
Yes.
Right? And so I imagine a lot of your graduates must also pay it forward in ways that they don't even expect, like how some of your friends influenced you to kind of rise up and achieve a better life for your children. I imagine they probably inspire a lot of their friends to do the same.
They do. And so they not only inspire their families and their siblings and their cousins, they inspire their friends, they inspire their communities. And honestly, they inspire us and they inspire the volunteers who work with them, because, you know, you're talking about kids who are who haven't had all the privilege, who have no high expectations of, you know, entitlement. These are kids who want it badly. And so when they finish and they are college graduates, they give back. So they're joining our boards, they're becoming donors, they're becoming mentors, and they are inspiring their own children and their own families for generations to come. So I think that's pretty important.
Yeah, and I imagine it's not just even inspiration, it's really a step beyond. I mean, I feel like these children are really changing the trajectory of their entire family, so that when they have children, the expectations for their kids will obviously be very different than what was put upon them.
It's very true. So I'll tell you about Jennifer, who was a graduate from Minds Matter back in 2005. And she talks about her family income was $18,000 a year. So I'm not even sure how that's possible, but $18,000 a year. Her mom was a fifth grade educated person, and her father went through high school. But there was no college there. And she attended a public school in Harlem, no resources. She didn't have the right kind of guidance. She wasn't getting guidance in SAT and ACT prep. She just didn't know where to go. And so she joined Minds Matter, and she was paired with two female mentors who taught her about what opportunities were out there and helped her uncover her gifts. And so Jennifer says that, as you just said, Minds Matter changed the trajectory of my life. it introduced me to a network of mentors and mentees and became my second family.
Yeah, right? I'm getting a little emotional when you talk about them. Yeah, what about Jennifer? So Jennifer went to college.
She has a bachelor's in accounting and finance from Georgetown.
Not too shabby.
Mm-hmm. She has a master's in accounting. She's now a manager at a financial services firm. She's auditing hedge funds. I mean, she has made it. And so she talks about the impact of Minds Matter, not on just her personally, but she talks about how she's now able to provide for her parents, which we hear a lot of our kids say. So now I get to pay back and help my parents. She's also pregnant. Jennifer is pregnant with her first child, and she talks about how excited she is to be able to provide the tools and resources for her child and for her future children.
Yeah, I mean, really, the work that you're doing is being paid forward in so many different ways into the community, the colleges that these children go to. You know, let's not forget the benefit that having a diverse student population has on the other kids at their college as well, and meeting someone like Jennifer. I would have loved to have met someone like that in my college.
Right?
So
yeah.
In our last few minutes, Ellen, tell me about some upcoming events at Minds Matter.
Sure. So again, Minds Matter is in 12 chapters all across the country. And so there is a spring event and a fall event usually in every chapter. But I'll talk to you a little bit about what's coming up in New York, since that's where we're closest to. So our New York chapter, which is fabulous and is our founding chapter. And so it all started in New York. So we have a New York chapter and our national offices here as well. But coming up on May 19th is the spring soiree for the New York chapter. And it's at the Highline Ballroom, and it's a gala with about 700 young professionals. There's dancing, there's dinner, and all of the details about this event can be found at mindsmatter.org. And so you can find out about that event, and you can select on other chapters across the country and see what their events are.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Ellen, you know, one of the things that really stuck with me is how you have to turn away academically deserving children because you're nonprofit can only serve so many kids. Even with 1,900 volunteers, there are still limitations on what you can do. What's on the wish list of your organization in the near term and the long term?
Sure. So in order to grow and serve more students, chapters need these things. They need more volunteers. So we need more volunteers. We need more money. Because it takes money to support these kids, to send them off to these summer programs, right? And so that's one of our biggest expenses. And so donations are really important. So donations, volunteers, and space. And so if you think about in order to grow and serve more kids, we need to have the space to do that. And so most of our chapters have space donated to them either by corporations or by schools, colleges, those sorts of places. And so we want to make sure that we're able to sustain our growth by funding these summer programs for our kids, finding the space and finding the volunteers to serve them.
And what about people who want to assist in some way? They may not have the extraordinary time commitment that a lot of your volunteers make to mentor a young child every Saturday. How can they give in other ways?
Sure.
Other than just monetary donations?
Absolutely. We have all sorts of opportunities on committees. Every event has a committee, for example. There are opportunities on our boards and in doing just general administrative work all across the country. So
yeah,
there's many, many needs.
And let's touch on the board of directors for just a second, because lots and lots of women are looking to serve on boards of directors. It's not so easy. A board of a large organization, a for-profit organization, is not going to take anyone who doesn't have prior board experience. So a nonprofit is a great way to get that stepping stone for women to serve on a board. What kind of board members are you looking for?
We are looking for board members all and every chapter and at our national organization. We're always looking for board members who are connected in their communities, who can help us in a variety of ways. So let's say you're a marketing expert. We need that. We need more people to know about us.
And what about women who may be listening or men who may be listening that don't have that kind of skill set, Ellen, mm-hmm. but maybe they're involved with their PTA at school?
Absolutely.
How can someone like that get involved?
Sure. We need a variety of skill sets all across the board. So manpower, women power is very important on at the board level. And so we try to take any gift that you bring and find a match for that. So I would say don't hesitate to reach out. Contact us through our website. You can find my information online as well. And let us help you find a match for what your gift is with what our needs are, because our needs are many.
Yeah, and I would really encourage anyone who wants to help an at-risk but promising youth who really has tremendous potential to read your annual report. You can read the case studies right there of children who have gone through your program and how they've given back to their community and the kind of investment and return in multiples that it can have on not just the community, the family, their friends, all the different people that whose lives they touch. So my guest today is Ellen Magnus, the Executive Director of Minds Matter. For more information, go to www.mindsmatter.org. You can like them on Facebook. You can follow the chronicles of all these different children who have been these incredible success stories through Minds Matter. And most of all, thank you for listening. And thank you so much for coming, Ellen.
My pleasure. Thank you.